Welcome to the Flat Bottom Girl Podcast.
Welcome to the Flat Bottom Girl Podcast. I'm Maddie Smith.
I'm Jordan Jensen. I just got back from Mexico, Maddie.
I saw. Did you sneak away without telling anyone? What's the story?
I did.
And I also
snuck away. I didn't want to.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to Aruba at the end of this month. So I think we have the same mindset of like, got to get my tropical vacay in before shit hits the fan in terms of, you know, getting out and about.
I've been to Aruba. It's sick. It's so they speak a Papiamento, which is the language on Aruba, I think, which is bizarre. And I went there once when I was a little fat mall goth. I was thinking about this the other day that I just like completely would crash the vacations of my friends. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you were one of two kids. You were either the one who went on vacation and you brought a friend, or you were the fucked up little poor friend who the parents were like, we don't want to bring her. And you were like, look, you need to threaten your parents' life and tell them that you need me there or you'll have a meltdown. And they're like, okay, yes, Jordan has to come. And then I would go and be like, what are we having for dinner?
Yeah. You know, I would tag along on a lot of vacations. But before we talk about the tropical vacations, let's introduce our guest so she's not floating.
Hell yeah.
Wendy Starling.
Bring her in, Maddie.
Oh,
you've seen her. You've heard her. If you don't know, now you know, but you should know. Give it up for Wendy Starling.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you guys, talking to people.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. I should have gone over the plugs before we started, but we'll get into that. We know Wendy from just doing comedy around the city. She's on Instagram. She's on TikTok. I met Wendy at a Lucky Jack's mic years ago, and I was like, this
Lucky Jack's,
one of the
wow.
coolest bitches I ever met in my life.
God,
even
Lucky
my boyfriend
Jack's.
At the time was like, I was like, how dare you?
I remember meeting you and being like, her voice. All I remember being like, it's not fair that she's allowed to have that voice. You have the Lindsay Lohan rasp.
Yes.
The
well,
coveted rasp.
It's easy to get. It's easy to get. It's suck on cigarettes and dicks. And you just like,
okay.
And then, right. And then be mad about it. So you're either sucking on something or you're yelling about not sucking on something. That's how you get this deep, deep rasp.
Now we know how Lindsay Lohan got it at before she started the Parent Trap.
Right. At 13 years old. That's how she got it.
So Wendy,
she put it in work. She put in work.
She put in work, and then it all crumbled. But so, Wendy, how has your quarantine been? And what are you looking forward to post pandemic?
Dude, well, I was in New York when it popped off, and then I just couldn't cover rent. I was on the Upper East Side in a studio apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And when performing shut down, and also the thing with New York, it's not even just shows. There's so many side hustle jobs that you can do to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That all the, even like you can temp for $25 an hour. You can sit there and pretend to answer a phone for some like Russian money laundering scheme.
Yes.
And I remember I used to work coat checks at night. Mm-hmm. And you could make like $800 a night in cash. And then the sugar daddy thing, like all the two rich married guys that I was fucking couldn't go to the office anymore. So I'm like, okay.
Right.
All of my jobs are illegal or unavailable. So
your sugar daddy stopped funding during the pandemic?
No, they actually reached out and sent me money. There were some guys that I'd only seen a couple times that like this one guy lived in Ireland and we stayed in touch. And so a lot of them reached out, which was really nice, and sent me money.
Everyone's pulling through this year.
Yeah, everyone's really coming through. And I'm like, and that's why it pays to be nice. Don't be a bitch. Be 100%. Nice to everyone and they will give you money. But I defected to St. Louis in September.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many sugar daddies is this? What is the quantity of sugar daddies?
So over a period of 4 years, it's like, it's kind of like Pokemon. Get them all while you can. And so I ended up having three regulars, like stable, kind of like relationships, kind of guys in my stable. Mm-hmm. And then I had three others that lived either out of state or out of the country. And they, I would see them maybe like once every month, once every 2 months. If they would come into town, we'd just go to dinner, hang out, fuck around. They would come to a show. And so, it was, I mean, it's a good deal if you can get it. It's a good deal if you can get it.
Oh,
I'm jealous of this.
Yeah.
So you had a couple guys pull through.
I'm going to move my rig. You guys keep talking. I'm just going to move my rig closer to the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Right.
So you had a couple guys pull
through. We just set up Wi-Fi today. So
we get it. You're in a big house. You have to move a long way to get to where you're going.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go all the way. Feel free to look at, you know, take us a little tour as I move closer.
I know. What a brag. She's like, I have to move closer to the Wi-Fi. So it's probably going to be like 30 or 40 minutes because I'm in such a big fucking house.
I have to go across to the pool house to get to the Wi-Fi. Meanwhile, everywhere in my home is equidistant from the Wi-Fi because we have a 1 foot radius of options for where to go. Okay. So the pandemic, your regular sugar daddies fell through.
Yeah.
But you had a couple other dudes come through.
Right. So it was a good, so it was good and it was fine. And I was the same. Well, like, well, you, and Maddie, I know you are with another person in your apartment.
My sugar daddy. Yes. I am with another person who I've talked about multiple times on both my podcasts. We ain't fucking, we ain't loving. And yet we planned a trip to Aruba for what? To look at each other even more?
To make TikToks with a different background.
Literally.
Honestly.
So yeah, I'm with Andrew, and it's a lot of FaceTime. I think the light at the end of the tunnel is helping to make things a little less serious. You take things more comedically. Because it used to be, you know, like August to December, you're like, what the fucking fuck? This is been forever. I hate you. But now it's like, I hate you, but this is almost over. So yeah, let's laugh about it. We did it.
You like, I hate you so much. I want to hate you, but someplace warm. Like, I'd like to hate you with a tan.
Yes. Or as tan as I can get.
Yeah.
So so Andrew and I planned this trip to Aruba. Well, we were browsing. You know what I didn't know growing up is you can just like go to a resort and it's like not that much money.
It's crazy.
Growing up, I always thought like, oh my God, beaches, sandals, Cancun, like that's probably so much. What the fucking fuck? Even the like really nice ones aren't that expensive.
That was like a rich kid thing. I was like, yeah. I remember when we went once and I was like, oh my God, I feel like something happened. My parents got a raise. Something's crazy. Like that was like them saving up for like 5 years and it being like the one vacation. And I was like, what am I going to do now that I'm a rich kid? My entire integrity as a human being is crumbled, you know?
Yes. Totally. And then you grow up and you almost hit 30 and you're like, let me see how much these cost. And you're like, oh, I could have gone once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick weekend, pop down to Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Or you think that like staying at the Airbnb is like way different, but it is like, it's the same shit. It's like some weird package deal. And then you have to basically put up with like a bunch of people in the lobby being like, hey, you want a scuba? And you're like, no, we don't want to scuba, you know, and that's how they get you with all the like, hey, come into the gift shop, buy this little shark fin necklace.
I'm gonna do every amenity. I'm gonna go scuba-ing. I'm gonna get massage. No couples massage. I don't mess with that anymore.
That is the weirdest thing. Have you ever done a couples massage?
Unfortunately, I feel like you always have to do it once to realize this is not something I want to do again.
It's so fucking weird. Mm-hmm. The only time I did a couples massage that was enjoyable was at one of those, you know, massage parlors on the Upper East Side with one of my sugar daddies.
Yeah.
And we went and the owner, he was like, oh, I go here all the time. He would go get jacked off there. And so we went. And like, that was the only time it was good because he was like, here, I'm going to pay this one a lot of money and she's going to massage you and I'm going to finger you. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
So that was something.
Wow.
That was a good couple's massage.
That's a great couple's massage.
Dude, it was so hot. It was so hot.
Wait, the lady fingered you or he fingered you while she massaged
fingered
you?
Me and she massaged me and then she left the room and fucked me on the table. Yes.
Oh my God. Wait a second. I don't know how my brain just short circuited where I didn't hear this. Wait. Was there a partner with you? Were you with somebody?
Yes. He was fingering her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The massage person was not fucking you. So she massaged you and he was like, do you mind if I fuck my partner? Wow. Yeah. she gets a massage. And the woman was like, no problem.
Yeah, she's like, great, as long as I don't have to touch your dick. I mean, it's a change of pace.
Right.
What change of pace? Right. Yeah, refreshing, if anything.
She usually goes there for
the whole
package.
Right, and I got to be honest, I think those people are not licensed massage therapists. And as a sex worker, I'm not talking shit. But as she was rubbing my back, I'm like, oh, I can see. I was like, actually, would you just finger me? Because that would probably hurt less.
Yeah, you're actually causing long-term damage to my nervous system.
Yeah,
she's just
wild.
Hitting your back as if she's fingering you. Yeah. She's just like jacking off your muscles.
Right. Yeah. I don't think this is how to do it. I don't think. Right. But I didn't realize a rhomboid could come though. I'm squirting out of my shoulder blade. That's amazing. Right. They're so good at that. But so that was the deal. And she was like, "Yeah, that's great. Whatever." So she just lightly rubbed my shoulders. And then after like 15, 20 minutes, she left and he fucked me on the table. And then I was like, can I get extra money to get a real massage? Because my back was like more fucked up than it was when I got there.
Yeah, can I actually just get a chiropractor reference? I need to get a few appointments with them.
Yeah. Can I get full medical coverage? Because I feel like it's going to lead to a lot of future problems.
Yes.
All right. I did wake up today. I will say, like never before in my life, sex is giving me whiplash. It's giving me muscle pain from having
sex. Last night?
Two nights ago. Wow. Two nights upon, I know, Mexico and then Sexico, you know what I mean?
Did you have sex in Mexico? You had sex in Mexico?
No. Nope, I returned here and had sex immediately upon arrival.
When we've been talking a lot about a little bit of a dry spell.
Oh, yeah. For J-Bo, for me, yeah.
For both of us. So,
yeah.
I'm happy for
dry spell for me is just, I mean, it's pretty much I'll just go a month and then I have sex and then I can go. It's just really maintenance for me. I really don't need it regularly. I don't like it regularly. I get yeast infections when it's regularly. It's not good for me.
Wendy's face.
A month?
Yeah. No, month is great. Month is ideal.
It's been a lot over here between us, Wendy. Plus on my end.
No way. It's not a month plus for you.
I don't know. It's just things aren't getting anything. I don't know. It's hard in the core. Because maybe you guys can give me advice.
I want to know what it's
parlor.
Is he like, come on, dude, what are you doing here? Or is he like, no, why would we?
No,
he is. Dude, this is a thing that's happening. This is a very common thing. Where during the pandemic, my female friends, they're being harassed by these men to have sex with them. And they don't want to do it
in the workplace. So it's a Me Too moment. So
it's in the workplace. Your desk is right there. You're naked. It's crazy. I mean, I think
Wendy, do you have any advice for two people in one home?
I mean, I don't know. And I will say, this is interesting because I've been getting on, and I know we're all up on TikTok. So the stuff that I post on TikTok, the comment sections are very interesting on my videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted a video talking about being a side chick.
The helpful hoe on TikTok.
Yeah, it's a really fun. I posted a video about being a side chick and a woman wrote like that's misogynistic and it's hurtful to you and the other woman.
Right.
And I'm like trying to try to respond, I don't want to just come at with anger. I'm like, what's funny? What's a funny joke here? Let's do this.
Yes.
But it's interesting because with the sugar dating, the guys that I've been with long term, the two long term guys I've been seeing are married. And there's this idea that like, oh, if they're stepping out, that's bad for the relationship. But a lot of times when you're in a relationship, the woman and not like it's the woman's fault, because I don't think it's anyone's fault. But a lot of times, and this is no bullshit. I know this sounds like justification, but the two guys that I've been seeing for a long time, when we talk about it, I'm like, I feel like this is actually helpful.
And the one guy,
the one guy that I've been with for like 4 years, he told me I said, I don't mean to like, you know, again, try to say like what I'm doing is noble. I said, but I feel like if your wife doesn't want to have sex and you do want to have sex, if you're like, I want to get fucked every day and your wife is like, once a month is good for me.
Yes.
If all you're doing is fighting and being angry with your partner, but if you're like, look, I love everything about you and I want to be with you forever. if your partner has a super low sex drive and you have a higher sex drive, I don't see the problem if everyone's consenting. It's like, okay, so just go out, get laid, have that interaction, and then you're not at home pissed off all the time.
Right.
It's actually is like helpful. I'm trying to work on a bit about that. I'm not like trying to steal your man. I think of myself as a husband sitter.
Yeah, you're like, trying to make him better. You're fluffing right. him up so he can enjoy Thanksgiving.
Right. So he can go home with an empty set of balls. And it's like, and I teach these men like listening skills. I swear yes. to God, because some of these guys, they'll be like, yeah, and this is, you know, and my wife, this and that. And I'm like, well, how are you with her? Because with me, right. you're very kind and like you listen and you're, but it's, I think when you're in a relationship for a long period of time,
it builds yeah. up, and that context just makes you forget that they're another person that you should treat well. And you yes. just have all this history and you're like, you dumb whore. And then they talk to another woman and they're like, you're so my wife doesn't get me. Like, no, because you're just rude as fuck to each other.
Right. And well, there's this other it's thing, just like, too.
What's the point of the maintenance? What's the point of the upkeep if you know they're there? That's why I'm very curious of how people keep it up.
How people keep what up?
Just wait, are you guys? I had to move around the Wi-Fi and you guys froze for half the thing. Are you talking about Wendy having one sexual partner?
And we were talking about how Wendy's helpful for people who have wives. My question is, do the wives? I heard that, I think Wendy and I went on a road gig together and one of the wives didn't know, but do they usually know?
I think usually they don't. So. Yeah. I mean, because I think it's one of those kind of like a don't ask, don't tell thing, maybe. Yeah. It just is like, sex is such a strange thing because, and again, like, and I'm not saying like, again, it's not anyone's fault. Like, well, yeah, maybe if you were open your fucking legs, your husband wouldn't be out. But it's like sex for some people is this very important, special thing. Mm-hmm. For other people, a lot of times men, sex is like a bodily function. So to fucking there's not emotional attachment. That's why they can go get a hand job and they're not proposing to the chick at the massage parlor.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
it's the biological imperatives are very different. It's not necessary. They get insane when they are full to the brim. They get insane. And that is the least lovable human being on the fucking planet.
Yeah. And the balls get really full. You ever see balls after first cum in a while? They're like full.
Yeah. It's gross. It's gross.
Versus me, it's like last priority for me. I don't know if I'm just not a very sexual being or if I am just too stressed right now to even do it. But I won't even.
It's like a vacation to me. It's like taking a vacation. Every time I have sex, I'm like, I haven't earned this. My life is up in the air. Everything's crazy. What am I doing? Just like taking a night off and coming? This seems insane. I should just quick in and out, get myself off, and then, you know, wake up and begin my day to adulthood as opposed to, you know what I mean? Like, no, I'm not going to have some dude sleep in my bed who I have to kick out in the morning and lose a bunch of sleep just so that I can, like, you know, have sex. It's very low on my list of priorities. Probably. I don't think that if I were able to like have sex and it was like really like a mental vacation, like it is when you get like a massage where you're like, yeah, I just check out for an hour and a half. But for me, it's like, no, this is just a different type of anxiety. You know what I mean? That's all that I'm pretty much primarily doing to maintain to reaffirm that I'm like an attractive person. And then, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like building a life with a person where I'm like, yes, let's like do this thing together that brings us closer. It's more just like, am I still hot? Yes. Great. See you later.
Yeah. It's a weird, well, I think that's a big, one of the big issues that women have with sex. And I was like this forever. I should say past tense, but you have all these like issues and ideas and like weird ideals that we attach to sex that make it something that's like not enjoyable. Or like you said, mm-hmm. where it's like, you're doing it to prove like, am I still attractive? But men, and the massage analogy is great because I think a lot of men view getting fucked in the same way that like a chick would be like, I just want to go like hang out with the girls for an hour. Or I'm going to go get a massage.
Yes, I would much rather do
that. Yeah. Well, or like, yeah, I'm going to go get my nails. Yeah. Or I'm going to go get my nails done. This is me time. That's how men view, a lot of men view sex. We're women, we've got all these hangups, like you said. And then if we're anxious about our body, and then we've also built up in our head, and this is not to get all like, because society says, but really, and even what I'm saying is also kind of like reaffirming this bullshit idea that's been put into the zeitgeist of the world, which is like that women don't want sex and men just want it because they're animals. And it's like, that's not true, but we've like been told that. And if you read women's magazines, everything's geared around like how to trick, like women's magazines are like how to, you know, trick a man into marrying you. And every man's magazine is like how to trick a woman into fucking you. And it's like, so we've built up all these weird constructs that are not based in any fact. It's just like some, it's, I mean, it's a stereotype, and then we buy into it. And so then you have all these hangups. So you can't just enjoy sex just because it's fun. Like I think it's really fun. And so I like it. And like, I don't have hangups about it. And I just think like, yeah, it's a fun thing to do. And, it feels good and it's nice. And then I think getting older has been helpful, because I used to be self-conscious about my body.
Mm-hmm. I think we're still in that.
Yeah.
And by I think, I mean, I'm 100% aware.
I mean, that's what my personality is based around.
That's the only thing we talk about.
Yeah. I used to be really, and I still will get kind of upset about it. But I think anytime I notice that I start to worry, like, am I gaining weight? Do I look ugly? Yeah. Anytime I start to put energy into like beating myself up about how I look, I stop, because that's such like a high school thing where your brain, it's when your life feels out of control. There's so few things in the world that we can control. And one of those things is how we look to a certain extent. Yeah. Right. So like, we can't change the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic. We can't change the fact that maybe our career choices were sometimes you wake up and you're like, what the fuck have I done with my life? Yeah. But we can lose 5 pounds. And subconsciously, we know that we can also stress eat to gain 5 pounds so that we can lose 5 more pounds and get that dopamine dump of like, oh, look, I lost weight. Oh, yeah, my jeans fit. Yeah. And then I have
control over my life. Yeah, 100%.
Totally. Correct. And so anytime I feel myself going like, oh, I need to lose weight, I'm like, no, you don't. This is high school. You feel out of control and you're trying to gain some sense of control over your life and the world. And so,
it's so true. Yeah.
You just go like, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to cut bangs. I'm going to paint my nails. I'm going to dye my hair. Like that's all that. Anytime you find yourself doing that, that's you feeling out of control. And the sooner you tap into that, you're like, okay, that's bullshit. My brain is covering up. What's the real issue? Go deeper, go deeper. It's deeper.
It is true. I did notice a lot of like uprising of practices that I wasn't doing before the quarantine. You know, the quarantine, you can't control your career. You can't control like how good your social media pops off, but you can control how much weight you lose. And you're like, oh shit. And I went back to like calorie counting and shit I haven't done since like my early 20s, of like, I will control my intake and I will watch myself lose weight because it's all I have. And then,
and it's like you're a little, you're like in a cage, so you really can, the input, there's all the input that's going in and the output is so calculatable and quantifiable that it's like, you know, before it's like you're running around, you have to stop at a bodega and throw a sandwich down because you're feeling lightheaded. Whereas now it's like, I can be lightheaded for 6 hours. It doesn't matter. I'm sitting down.
Yeah.
Like I am not going to expend energy or talk to anybody. And the last thing I'm going to do is emerge from this and be like, have people be like, ooh, okay, so Jordan got comfortable, you know, which is like, there was that whole fear. But it is also like, there's also the feeling of like, I know that if I don't restrict that I will overdo, which I think me and Maddie both have, where it's like, if I don't like obsessively lose weight, I will obsessively gain weight.
Yeah. I'm trying to work on the like intuitive eating.
I know.
Which has been, and I think tough. The three of us have gone up and down in body weight over the years.
Over a week.
Something that, but we've all been like incredibly different body types.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can confidently say that.
Yeah. And
so it's hard. You have to constantly kick out those thoughts of, am I gaining weight? I always think you're on the verge of 200 at this rate after like a day of like, you know, I went to the Hamptons and I had a wonderful weekend of eating and drinking. And most normal people on Monday would be like, what a fun, awesome weekend. And now I'm back to my little yogurt and salads. But I was like, this is why you're going to be back at 220 in no time, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, I so get that way.
You're always having those thoughts versus people who have not been 100 different body types. You're always having that like body.
It's trauma. Being fat is trauma. Being huge is a traumatic event that happened in our lifetime. It's crazy mm-hmm. that we're constantly trying to avoid.
I agree. But at what point can you just be like, all right, we're moving on. And I don't have to constantly kick out negative thoughts like gnats or let them totally take over my brain.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you calorie restrict and when you get really thin, is that when you're more sexual? Like, do you feel like there's any correlation to you not having sex with you feeling heavier? Or do you feel like now, even if you
started dating, we were fucking like animals and I was 30 pounds heavier. And now I'm like, because when you start to go on that like weight loss journey, you're never enough. And you're also not nourished enough. So you got a dry ass pussy.
Right. Well, I was going to say, I have that. Well, when I moved to St. Louis, one of the things I did, because I just stopped drinking. Like when I was in New York earlier last month, I drank, I went out, I like to wine bars, but in St. Louis, because my goal here is I have really cheap rent. I'm like, let me just like hunker down and figure out what the fuck I'm doing. Right. And I know like one person that lives here. So I'm like very isolated and there's nothing. I don't know, St. Louis, whatever. If you like living here, good for you. I personally don't like it. When I moved here, I was like, okay, maybe I won't do stand up. Like, let me rethink my whole life. Right.
Right.
Let me figure out and let me see if maybe I was caught up in, you know, the pace of New York City and
New York. It'll eat you and it'll spit you out.
Yeah. You know, like New York has pica. That's that eating disorder, by the way, where you chew it and you spit it out. We all know about all the good eating disorders. But moving here, you know, in life, you feel like you're going down a trajectory. And then at some point you're like, am I still like making this choice every day? Right. When we're out doing mics and spots, you get in the habit. And like for us, thankfully, stand-up is fun. So, but I think people that have office jobs can relate to this more, where you just kind of do things and then you wake up 10 years later and you're like, do I even like doing this?
Yeah.
What the fuck am I even doing? So moving here, I kind of did that. And being away from everything, I was like, nope, I still like it, which is why I started TikTok. Because I was like, nope, I still like what I was doing. And that was fun.
Definitely.
But I'm not drinking out here. Mm-hmm. And there are not, they're not good like restaurants everywhere. And so when I moved here, I just like go for walks twice a day and I use water jugs as weights. And I noticed, I didn't really notice because again, we all know this in our minds a lot of times. I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm always almost 200 pounds. That's always in my brain. But then I started to lose weight and I went jean shopping and I picked jeans out. This was in January and I got a pair of like Madewell non-stretch 27 inch and they fit and they're a little bit loose in the waist now. And I'm like,
right.
It's so strange, but what I was doing, again, there's nothing to do. Like you said, it's not like I have spots at night. We're just at home all day. You get up and record. So I would wake up and work out and I would wait until I did my first 2 mile jaunt to eat. And I would do a little like a half serving of a protein spirulina shake. But you have to be careful because I would be like, oh, well, let me tomorrow. I'll wait till 2 p.m. to eat. And then I'll wait till 3 p.m. to eat. And so then
slope.
Yeah. And there's somebody in St. Louis that I see. I have a sugar daddy out here. And I can remember I didn't see him for like 2 weeks. And then I was like, and I go, I feel bloated. I hope I don't. And he goes, you have lost so much weight in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it. And looking at photos, you think like, oh, whatever. You know, you're just like, you can always pick out what looks fat and gross. And I was doing a thing for OnlyFans and I run the camera. So I take video and then I pull stills from it. And so I was like in the video and I was like taking like, you know, doing like a silly strip tease and a dress. I don't do anything super scandalous on there. And so I was doing that. And as I was going through the footage, I could see all the bones in my spine. I could see all my ribs in my back. My ass looked like it was like no ass. And I've always had a big juicy ass, but I was like looking at these photos and I was like, I look malnourished.
Yeah.
And it was crazy to look at that photo, but then look in the mirror and be like, okay, but looking in the mirror, I see a fat person.
100%. You always see same thing. So I have to take pictures of myself too, to see both sides of that. Am I a little larger than I think? Or, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Continue.
It's fucking, it's bananas.
It's crazy.
And I also,
before my period, I view myself as a completely, it is insane, the human being that I see a week before my period. It is unrecognizable. And I have to be like, this is literally, you are on a hallucinogenic hormone is what's happening right now. You are hallucinating a massive person when really you are probably like a tiny bit swollen. It is crazy. It is crazy, nuts.
Yeah, it's wild. And I will say the one thing that I do when I started OnlyFans, it was in New York. It was partially to make money, but also as a way to be like accountable because I was starting to gain a lot of weight there because I was on the Upper East Side. So I could just like walk and get really delicious cheese plate and a bottle of wine. And I would just do that every night.
100%, yeah.
And with OnlyFans, I'm like, this is good accountability to be like, hey.
I think that's the first person I've heard to say about OnlyFans.
That's like why I started it. I was like, okay, this is just to make sure I don't gain a ton of weight. It's like a motivation. Because even like when you're doing shows, when things were open, we're out every night. And so you're just aware always that like you're going to be seen. And I think a lot of people, when they lose weight, people that are not in entertainment or in anything in public, there's this thing where you're like, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. And then you do, and you wait and like nothing happens. Yeah. And it's like, oh, what the person at your office says like, hey, you lost weight. Or your husband's like, hey, your ass looks a little nicer. So it's like, there's not that much of a dopamine hit. But when we look hot in a photo, we get a bunch of people telling. So like it,
yeah,
for us, totally. There's an instant gratification if we do one thing to look a little bit better. So there's more motivation. But with quarantine, with all that gone, it's just like, whoo, I packed on some weight almost immediately. Because it's like, well, what the fuck does it matter if I look good in self and I'm not going on stage?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really, it was being in Mexico with my girlfriends and not, there was like no, because it was COVID, we didn't like go out. We didn't like tour around or anything. And we kind of like, we just walked around in bathing suits and sometimes walked around in like just the bottom of bathing suits and like just, you know, because it was like just friends and there was no, there was just all, I think the age we had gotten to, there's like no more body comparison. I was eating like so, I mean, I also got food poisoning, so food was crazy idea.
Lucky.
Yeah, I know.
Tell us your secret. I've ever been.
But it was like walking around with my body exposed made it so that I really was eating when I was hungry. And there was something about it. It wasn't like my body's exposed, so I don't want to overeat. It was more just like, I was more familiar with my body. Therefore I was more familiar with what it wanted because we're, you know, so in the winter and all, you know, when you're all bundled up and you're not thinking about it and you can just, you know, it's like how, you know, people say you gain weight, the more spandex you wear, just because you're not noticing it. But it was interesting where I was like, I will get into a dissociative place where I'm just not thinking about my body and I'm just like an anxious brain, you know, and I'm just like, you know, hitting the dopamine button over and over and over. And I can imagine sex becoming something, to circle back to what we were talking about, something that would be almost like interesting in like like fun, the way that men perceive it as like, this is an exploratory thing where we're having a good time. You know, I was thinking about sex when I was in Mexico, which is probably why I got back and immediately had sex. Cause I was like, yeah, if I feel connected with my body, I can totally get how exploring somebody else's body with my body is good. It's when I do this, like, it's when I do this floating head thing where I completely dissociate from my body, which can be related to depression or anxiety or just stress. And where I am, you know, just a brain in a vat where sex becomes so absurd to me. And I think that, I think like exercise and just like making sure that I think New York pulls your brain out of your body more than any other place in the world, where it's just like, who cares about this flesh sack? It's aging. It's betraying you. You have to, you know, find it a place to shit in a public space without getting freaking COVID and AIDS. And you have to feed it relentlessly, which costs $1 million, you know, as opposed to just like having it be this thing that you pay attention to and love and it takes care of you and you take care of it. But yeah, I totally
like loving it at where it's at now. And I feel like for a long time. I don't remember most of the past 10 years because I spent the whole time being like, well, in 6 months, they're going to not recognize me. And that's how you end up having incredibly, like, my friend Stuart will be like, the funniest thing Maddie ever said to me. And I don't remember ever saying these things because I feel like it's like a depressive state where you're like, well, I hate myself now, but come June, I'm going to be a size, blah, blah, blah. And when you look to the future like that, you're gonna be like 50 and be like, fuck, I fucked up hard,
dude. Yeah, I gotta tell you, I had this epiphany when I was working at Whole Foods. This was maybe like 7 years ago, so I've been doing stand-up for like 4 or 5 years, and my mother was a model when she was younger. So she's tall, she's very thin, and like always counting calories and would tell me when I was getting fat. And when I was 14, she was like, you're built like your father. You're very muscular. And she's like, and you'll get fat easily. So you're going to start going to the gym with me. So 4:45 in the morning when I was 14 years old, I had to be up and going to the gym with my mother because she was so afraid to have a fat child. And, and so I was always obsessed with it and counting calories. And then I was before I did stand up, I was a personal trainer. And because that was the first time I gained weight, I was like up to 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. And then I started going to the gym to lose weight. I was working at a bank at the time. And then I started there were like a group of other ladies that were there. And I started showing them how to exercise because I knew how to do it because I was forced to go to the gym when I was a child and I swam and played water polo. The gym then hired me. They were like, you're doing a great job. People are listening to you. So then I became a personal trainer. And then I owned a training studio. For the last year that I was a trainer. But it was like such an interesting thing. There were two things that I noticed. One, with women, the reason women had a more difficult time losing weight when I was a trainer is because we are more emotionally attached to our bodies, which I think also relates to the sex thing, right? So when, for the most part, not always, but when a woman would be overweight or gain weight, she would internalize it as I have gained weight, which means I am a bad person. I am unlovable. I'm a piece of shit. I can't control myself. I'm garbage. But that's because we attach our value to how we look and how much people want to fuck us, right?
It's the moms.
Right. And so we do that. And this is a man. A man will put on 50 pounds and you walk in and you'll be like, hey, you got fat. And he's like, yeah, I know. And you're like, stop eating this bullshit and do these exercises. And they go, okay. And they lose weight almost instantly because there's not an emotional barrier. They're like, oh, I'm just because you gain weight doesn't mean you're like a quote fat person. It means you're engaging in a behavior and it's begetting this specific result. Right. In the same way, it's like the joke with like the old thing of like, hey, every time the guy goes to the doctor, every time I poke my eye, it hurts. He's like, well, so stop fucking doing that. So it's like, it's not, that's not you as a person. You're engaging in a behavior. And if you stop doing that, you will stop having that same result. And so that was with the men, it was really easy. With the women clients, it was more like therapy. You have to be like, and at Whole Foods, I can remember I saw this woman and I was kind of, once I found stand up is when I stopped kind of obsessing over my weight because I had something else. I was like, oh, my value is not in how I look. My value is, can I make people laugh? My value is that I'm smart and funny. My value comes right where you're not obsessing. You have something else to focus on. And I remember being at Whole Foods and I saw someone who was like maybe in her 50s or 60s, very frail. She came in and she was looking for supplements. And I was, you know, helping her look for stuff. And I said, so what are your, like, your main concerns? And she's like, and she pinched like was the skin. And she's like, I'm just trying to get rid of this fat. And she was this nervous woman. God. And I thought, okay, I need to get this shit out of my brain now because what a sad way to live your life to be, to spend your whole life. And you just like what you just said, Maddie, is like so on point when you are so concerned with like beating yourself up and trying to find your value and like what your body weight is, your fucking BO. It's like, who gives a shit? And so, but then it's so sad because you just lose so much of your life because it's like, we're not, our bodies are just, you know, like a vessel. And like, you know, it's like, and most of us, if let's be honest, most of us, even if we got down to like a size 4, we don't have the face or the fucking height to be on the cover of a magazine. And once you're over 22, it's not gonna happen anyway. So
it's just over anyway.
So fine. You know, you have value. We all have other value. And it just is like, the sooner you can like get that out of your head and be like, okay, what do I think? Not why am I, do I feel like shit because I'm being told that I should feel like shit because I don't look like this or I don't have these things. It's like, it just makes life a little easier, I think.
It's hard though, because like, it's wrapped up in your, it's like, I know that if I get to a certain weight or a certain size, or if I gain weight, I won't operate like myself. I will be acting different. I will walk, you know what I mean? Like, it takes so much training to get over the like shame, the sensation of shame. I mean, because you can like, even you can see if in pictures of me in stand-up where I've gained weight, it's like, you can see that I'm holding myself differently because I'm, you know what I mean? Or yeah, go for it.
Keep going. Well, I was going to say, I also think there's a place where you can get mentally where you know you won't even get to that place physically anymore. I think there's a lot of like trust you can work on with yourself because you're living in paranoia of getting to that bigger place, which probably would never happen because you're more mindful now and you take things day by day. And for you to get back to that place, it would have to be 3 months of like blacking out and being like, what the hell happened? Which you would never let yourself get to anymore.
It's so, I was like eating cereal the other day, which I don't eat because when I had type 2 diabetes, I swear to God, it was from cereal. I was convinced because I would do the milk, then the cereal, then the milk, then the cereal, then the milk until it was gone. Yeah, so good. And cereal is so good. And I bought the cereal recently that was like this fiber cereal and whatever. And I was eating it and I was like, oh my God, like you're back on this cereal train. You're going to have type 2 diabetes in no time. You're going to be da 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 da. And then I was like, dude, though, this is the thing that I have eaten today is this bowl of cereal. Like when I was a kid, it was like, I had eaten two things of Annie's mac and cheese and my like pre-bed snack was like a full box of cereal. You know, I was like, you need to stop thinking that there's any equivalent of those two human beings. One was like jacked up on medication and the other is like a lucid person who doesn't live with their, it's so crazy how much you're like,
discredit the past 15 years of work.
Yes, you just think, totally.
I'm back there. Even when I have like a bout of overeating, it's not anywhere close to where I was when I was binge eating, but I'm still like, we're getting back there, aren't we? And it's probably just a big meal and some dessert. And yet my brain is triggered to go into freaking fight or flight and be like, how dare you? Tomorrow, you know, you tell yourself like tomorrow you're running 6 miles to get this off, where you can actually probably just enjoy the meal and wake up tomorrow and do the exact same thing you did today without having to purge your body in those ways.
What about parents? Do you guys have, do you guys look at your parents' bodies and are like, oh shit? Or is it
like in a sexual way? Yes.
Oh shit.
Do you ever look at your parents' bodies and just go, I'm trying to fuck either.
You ever like, 100%. You ever meet somebody and they're like, I've like had friends that are like super food constricting and then you meet their parents and they're like morbidly obese and you're like, oh, got it. Okay. That's what you're, that is what's happening here. I've thought about that a lot where it's like, or like even men who have their dads are bald and they're like, oh my God, it's scary to like, just look ahead and see what it will bring.
Yeah. I felt like I'm genetically different from my parents. My mom is like 5'2" and a little bit wider. But I do look at my dad's side of the family and none of them were all like thicker Irish people. So that's the other thing, is like for me to try to aim for like 115 pounds size 2 is genetically not possible because my entire family has natural cankles and big fat breasts. Like it will,
your head will
happen.
Fall off its body. Jeez.
Square dairy farm people, and you look at your family and you're like, oh, there's proof that I should stop because I'm going against and then you see some other families, they're tall lanky Italians and blah blah blah, but that's not my family at all.
Yeah.
So then when you see the proof, you're like, okay, I think I need to chill out because the odds are against me and I don't want to spend the rest of my life eating one sweet green salad a day just to cycle between the same 5 pounds.
Right. And just to also, defy your body.
Yeah. It's just it's a weird thing because it's like, what's the, like, it's the same thing with anything. When people are like, we're sticking to this. I've tried to tell myself, I'm like, okay. Cause I'm very into mindfulness and meditation and all this kind of bullshit. Just cause I was so miserable for the first part, like first half of my life, like you described with like Maddie, with like 10 years, you're like, I don't even remember it.
Right.
But I was like, I'm just so over it. I'm so over beating myself up about a lot of shit that I can't control. And like, this is just what it is. And if you don't like it, then fuck off. And it was when I started doing stand up, I was like 27 and I'm 39 now. So that was a big turning point for me when I found that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've shaved my head twice. Yeah. I just will do things to fuck with the way that I look to be like, I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And it's, but there's something too, because there's something to really asking yourself, whatever it is, whether like you do the 115 pounds or like, I want to be rich or I want to be famous. It's like, okay. But so then really like, so then what do you think is going to happen when you get that?
Right.
Do you think you hit 115 pounds and all of a sudden there's a bag of money and you walk down the street and people high five you? No. Yeah. And we all know this because we've been overweight and we've been thin.
Yeah.
Like, the nice thing is, yeah, people on social media for us will be like, hey, looking good. Or you could be like, oh, I can fit into these pants and I look good. But it's really nothing more than that. So
nothing
like, and even we all know people. And Maddie, I mean, you like, you know, like you get on TV and you hit these markers in your life and career where you're like, this is going to be it. I'm fucking making it. And then even if you get millions of dollars, we all know people that have blown up and have millions of dollars and they look hot as shit and they get plastic surgery and they get whatever. And they still are like, I want to kill myself. And so it's like,
or
nothing.
They want more and more and more.
I think it's more and more. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the more you get it, the more you realize that there's no satiating the eternal epic void that is being a depressed artist.
Yeah. 100%. And even with
that's why you maybe have to have sex. We should learn from this, Maddie.
So will you guys want to live stream me tonight? Like what's going on?
I guess so. Yeah. I'm coming over.
I do think like as I get further on into comedy, the whole mindset of like stop projecting into the future, just like enjoy right now, because seeking out a smaller body or seeking out like accolades or fame is one in a million. So you have to enjoy right now, because if you get up there and you have not enjoyed this whole thing, you're going to be up there alone and it's going to be sad and scary.
Yeah.
And we know we're in the best part. I mean, you've literally hear like so many people on podcasts or interview things where it's like, they're like, yeah, coming up, all of the comedians hanging out and jumping on these whack ass shows and going to, you know, even like people talking about like the mic scene and like, you know, all of that. Everybody's always talking about that as like the glory days, you know, whereas like there is total isolation in the other stuff. And there's also just so much. There's so much more like navel gazing, you know, the more fame you get, the more you like have to spend attention on yourself and the way less like growth and learning you're doing because you're like socializing and exploring and figuring out, you know? So I do think that
you have to like creating and being in this more than you like, you want to be like famous or receive things.
Yeah. Well, the projecting.
I hate how much the 20s were just about fucking dudes and staying skinny. I can't. I mean, I did a lot of shit. Like I did a lot of jobs. I started comedy, a whole lot. I moved to different cities, but like the epoch is definitely marked by like the Bible, like where it's like Paul, you know, and then my weight 160, you know what I mean? 100. It's like, that's what it's like all. And it's.
However, you did a lot of work to have a wonderful next decade.
Yes, that's true.
20s. And the good thing is like, once you realize that's the thing is you can look back and say like, oh, what a waste that like, but it's like, no, but it wasn't a waste because you're where you are now. And so where you get trapped in the cycle of beating yourself up, like, okay, well, it's like, okay, well, it happened and it's done. So stop thinking about it just move forward and like do the next thing. And then just be aware of the traps that you can fall into. And when you see it happening, be like, I don't want to do that anymore. That did not feel good. You know, like, and the mindfulness, this is interesting. We talk about projecting the future and to like, cause we're talking about sex earlier. One of the things, and this is such a, like comedy was really helpful. And then the other thing was going into sex work with the sugar daddies, because the relationships I've had for the last 4 years have been with people that I know there is no future. So when I date someone, I'm not going like, where's this going in 5 years? Are we getting married? It's like, so you want to talk about like, you know, like Maddie, you're saying like, just enjoy like what you're doing right now and stop worrying about the future. I've been doing that with my, these relationships and it's the guy that I've been with for 4 years. Like we say, I love you. He is married. I said, he's never going to divorce his wife. I said, I don't want you to.
Yeah.
So when we're together, I'm not thinking like, where is this going? What's happening? Does he like my body? What are we doing later tonight? Is he going to want to fuck me again tomorrow? Because that's not an option. And so that's really helped, where a lot of people, I think that any kind of sex work makes it's like, oh, you must hate your body. It's actually been super helpful.
Yeah.
Because you're just focusing. You're not focusing on yourself. You're like, I have 1 hour with this person. Mm-hmm. I have only 1 hour to spend with this person. How do I want to spend this limited amount of time?
Right.
And do I want to spend
an hour?
Because they're on a lunch break or they got to go back to work. Oh. Like, so oh, yeah.
This person's wife, most of the wives don't know about it. It's don't ask, don't tell, typically.
Correct. And
sometimes
a lot of times
it's cheating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would imagine most of the time, if we're being honest, I would imagine most of the time it is.
Yeah. Totally.
You know what I mean? For being like
1 hour. Is that your rule or is it like that's just typically how it ends up?
No, it just depends on the schedule. So sometimes it's like, oh, I have 3 hours, but if it's a lunch break.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I've got a free hour and I would love to come see you. And then other times if there's more free time, like this guy that I've been with for 4 years, like we've gone on vacations together. He's taken me on work trips. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times then you can't go out to dinner, especially in Manhattan, because you can't be seen.
What happened when you were in St. Louis with him? Did you go back? Is it just hiatus?
I've been to see him a couple times. He's flown me out to see him. Yeah. It's nice, but it's like an interesting thing because you go like, it's really a bit like a metaphor for life, right? Because we only have a limited amount of time on the planet. And so that's been really helpful for me as far as what I'm doing every day of my life. I take what I do in those relationships, which is like, I have 1 hour. So even if I feel like shit and I'm sad and I'm stressed out about a bunch of shit I have to do, it's like, there's 1 hour that you have to spend with this person. How do you choose to spend that time? And so I'm like, I'm not going to be stressed out if my stomach feels bloated or if I have a pimple or if I look tired. I'm going to focus on like, I'm enjoying being with this person. I'm going to like give them love. And if they want to be nice to me, I'm not going to be like, no, don't touch me there. I don't deserve it. Or whatever. It's like, no. We're just a pure exchange of like, it sounds cheesy, but it's like, you're just a pure exchange of like love and kindness and pleasure. And you're all in. And also thinking not like, okay, he better fucking propose to me. We've been doing this for how many years? It's like, just fucking stop putting expectations on yourself and other people and like be in the moment and just like, and that is so helpful. And so I try to take that into other areas of my life. And it's been helpful even with the bodies and with aging. Yeah. I get called old fucking all day on TikTok and I'm almost 40.
Why do
40.
They say that to us? What a weird thing to say. I've been talking about this on stage a little bit about how you get on TikTok and people call you old and you're like, don't you know that's the one thing you 100% are going to become? You know, you're going to, why are you, this is like looking at a dead body and being like, oh, fucking dumb bitch, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. People, that's because people are scared of their own mortality. It's the same reason that people that are obsessively skinny and like have never been over. That's the same reason that people that are like working out all the time and counting their calories, they see someone that's overweight having a sandwich, enjoying themselves, not stressed out, and they're like, oh, look at, I can't believe I have to watch a fat person eat. Fat people are gross. So it's all projection. So anytime someone says anything shitty to us, that's them projecting their fears onto us. So when someone goes, oh, fat people are so gross, they don't actually give a shit about the person's overweight. They're saying that because they are so afraid to gain weight and they probably beat themselves up when they think about having a Snickers. So it's it's young people that they base their worth on being young and they're so afraid to get old that they see an old person and they're like, you're old and you should be ashamed. It's like, why? Oh, because you hate yourself because you have wrinkles. Okay, that's what it is. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with them hating themselves.
It never has anything to do with us. It's always them. One time I commented back on someone, someone's negative comment, and he said, sorry, I commented that because I hate myself.
I've definitely commented a couple times being like, yo, hey, it's just a joke, dude. You know, I'm just trying to make people laugh, and had people be like, I'm an idiot, I'm sorry. And you're like, did you just want a little bit of attention from me? I mean, I really do think it's usually them liking you and wanting to just get a little bit of a rise out of something that they enjoy, which is just mental illness. But I just think the old thing is funny. I mean, I'm about to turn 30 and I can definitely feel myself having this weird, you know, multiple revelations constantly. I had one the other day where I think it was after going to Mexico where I was like, dude, I need to stop fearing getting older, because I think the older you get, the more capacity, the goal, if you set the goal of like, I'm going to be able to like not care what people think of me and just be able to be around my friends who will be the same age as me and have a garden and give myself food and not give a fuck. Like it is like illuminating how much it's like, I think with each decade you get further and further away from this. You just like weed out what completely doesn't serve you. And I think the goal is to figure that out as early as possible so that you don't get to your end of your life and, you know, think I should have. I mean, because every old person is like, I wish that I had just not given a fuck about anything, about societal constructs, about like societal developments, about, you know, getting enough or being enough. And just
we're like okay, existing. Grandma, well, I'm going to be hot. So,
I mean, we're like, that's so sweet that you say that. And I'm so happy. I can't wait to be old so that I lose all the water in my body and I'm thinner. Know. You know what I mean? It's like so crazy. Or you're like, ooh, I should post a picture of you saying that, Grandma, because that will get me, you know, it's like, will you be on my TikTok? I mean, it really is. Yeah. It really. And I think that there's something to be said about having a life that feels full of like meaning. And I think it's all a worthy endeavor to like make people laugh and accumulate. But I think we do get, I think that we forget that like what we're trying to do of like, of have control over our lives and like make sure that we feel okay can oftentimes just be beating the shit out of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that, being like present to the fact that we are like, we are, because other people with jobs, it's like, these are the tiers that you climb. This is what you do. You do X and you get Z. And with ours, it's such an abstract nebulous that it's like, maybe the reason why I got that show is because I was underweight. You know what I mean? I was below 10 pound skinnier. And it's like, maybe that is what it is. And then that perpetuates it, where it's like, it's difficult to just look at it objectively and be like, no. I've got it.
Yeah, but also right now with the way the industry's working, this whole idea of like, well, I need to be, that's like, okay, so then don't fucking do their show. So then make your own show and find people that like you. And you know, like just do whatever the fuck you want. Like, honestly, no matter, even again, talking about like, if you lose weight, you don't get a prize or a parade when you walk down the street. If you're super, super thin and super rich, guess what? You're still going to be dead one day anyway. And the other thing with dating, the one of the guys that I dated in New York, he's like close to a billionaire and he's hot and he's got everything you could ever want.
He's hot. He's a hot billionaire. Those don't exist.
Yeah, he is. But I will tell you, he's one of the most miserable people I've ever met. Not miserable in the sense that like he's negative. He's unhappy because he still is looking for fulfillment from outside sources. And so these people, whether you put all your thing in like, I'm going to be hot. Okay, great. Well, guess what? You can be super skinny, but as soon as you're 50, I hate to break it to you, you're 50. So you better find something else of value in yourself because we're all going to get older. You know what I mean? And it's like, great, you're rich. Okay, cool. So if your whole thing is money, great, you have money. It's like, well, you're kind of a cunt. So I don't care how much money you throw at people, you're not going to have any quality relationships. There's someone now, speaking of comments on TikTok, who is someone that I dated for a month here in St. Louis, very wealthy, but kind of he's a monster of a person. His whole thing was get money. And he's is single. He's 63. Just had like this harem of chicks that he would just call and he would just, you know, here's money, had a bunch of like sugar babies that he would just have. He met me and he was like, oh, you're like normal and nice and age appropriate. And you like are pursuing another career. Your whole thing is not just like, daddy, I want a purse. And because he's banging like chicks in their 20s. And he became very obsessed with me, like, and obsessive, and was trying to like get me to move in. I was like, no, I'm like pursuing comedy and other things. I actually don't want a boyfriend. Like, that's why I'm on the site. I want to see someone like once a week and have these parameters. He became physically and verbally abusive, and I left, broke up with him. And that was after a month. he then started hitting me up right after, like, hey, I'm sorry. Anyway, I'll send you money. I want to see you. And I was like, no. For 5 months with no response, he's been texting me nonstop. He's now switched and he's harassing me on social media, like TikTok, leaving fucking insane comments. He's just taking Adderall all day. Dude, it's I'm performing at the club this weekend. I sent them his photo and said, do not let this person in. I live in an open carry state. Oh, no, I'm actually like terrified for my life. But like, that's an example of someone who he's just like, I'm going to be rich. And it's like, baby, if you don't find something else of value in life, like being kind.
Yeah.
Like that, if all you have to offer is that, for people that are, if all you have to offer is that you're hot, it's like, I know guys that, especially the doing seeking arrangements and like sex work has been the crazy experience. Cause where I was always like, I need to be hot and young. There are dudes in their 40s who will be like, they're like, I would rather bang you and hang out with you than some like supermodel looking 24-year-old chick. Because the comments I get from dudes are like, if a chick is super hot, they're like, they're normally just so uptight about their body and constantly worried about how they look that they're not fun in bed, because to be fun in bed, you have to not give a shit. And it's not about how you look. It's about like giving pleasure to the other person and having fun. And in the same way that like dudes that are obsessed with like getting money are usually equally as fucking shitty to hang out with as a super hot person. Have you ever hung out with someone with a six pack? It's not fun because they will not eat bread. They're like, I don't know. I want to have water, but like not too much water. Cause if you can overhydrate, bro, fuck you.
Definitely. Definite red flag to be too much of one thing.
A six pack is like, that is my number one red flag. I will not even talk with a person with a six pack.
No, it's gonna be they're about to go to one of the best restaurants in New York and get grilled chicken with a side of fucking hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, what the...
Or they're gonna do like a scary load where they do the thing where you're like, oh, this is the meal that you've allowed themselves, and then they're like obsessing about getting an all of the calories
the cheat
in.
Day,
yeah, the cheat day is a scary
and
day.
Their farts are about to smell like
and they're gonna be angry after they're gonna be in pain
either way down. If they're eating chicken breast and hard-boiled eggs and broccoli, their farts are gonna smell. Or if you're hanging out with them on a cheat day, they're not gonna be fun because they won't be able to even have a conversation because they're just gorging themselves. And then they're going to have diarrhea for the next 48 hours. So either way, people with six packs, back off, walk away. Red flag.
I agree. Unless you're like Michael fucking Phelps. Otherwise.
Unless your job is to have a six pack.
Right. If you have a six pack and also have enough money to have a home with like two bathrooms far, far away from each other.
Far, far away.
Yeah. That's the only way to have a relationship with someone that has a six pack. They also have to be like, so then you would just never see them. That's also what I would work. Yeah. They're either at the gym or at their job.
Yes. Or counting their macros.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we got to end this
in an hour. Yeah.
This was great.
Wendy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so nice to talk with you guys and have like,
I know.
Feels just nice to vent about all this shit.
Yeah, it's really nice. I learned a lot. Also, I didn't know that you were a sex worker. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's great. I have many questions. I feel like I could talk to you for another hour about it. I love the non-committal thing. It's really something I'm trying right now. And I feel completely liberated. I feel so liberated from the feeling of just being like, I'm not trying to have a boyfriend. I'm trying to have multiple people that I love in many different ways. And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, you got more than one friend, right? You have it with your friend if you want to get coffee and talk about counting calories. That's one friend. If you want to go out and fucking drink and eat tuna melts at 3 a.m., might be a different friend.
Definitely.
Yeah, I got my tuna friend, dude. I got my tuna friend. It's a different, he's not my book friend, but he's my tuna friend. Okay, where can we find you, Wendy?
Yeah.
My website, all the links are there. So the website is wendystarling.com. I'm on Instagram, wendybird82, TikTok, The Helpful Ho, and my podcast. I do a solo podcast where I talk about like this kind of stuff. And then I also do a meditation at the end. It's whatever I'm going through that week. It's called I Love You, Please Stop. It's really fun. People like it. And they're like fun meditations. A lot of times it's a dynamic one where you visualize yourself like at a party with a bunch of people that are coked up. It's helpful to some people. Hell, I don't know.
That's awesome. I need that. That's great.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy.
Thank you for having me. It was nice to see you guys. I miss you.
Yeah.
And when you come back here, we'll see you. We got the clubs reopening, so.
Yeah, I'm going to come back this summer. I'm going to do like a week run and come back again and just do spots. So we'll hang out in person.
Look out for Wendy.
We'll be here.
So when are you coming back? When are those?
Probably June or July. I haven't booked the flights yet. So. But yeah, I'll let you guys know when we can do shows.
Hell yes.
And get fucking tuna melts.
Tuna melts sounds good, or count or talk calories. Either one depends on how we feel that day.
Right.
Every day is different.
Every day is different. Every day is different. Yeah. Some days I'm Buddha. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Life is fucking. It's in and out. It's a goddamn mandala. What is food? Food is something that nourishes me. I nourish you. This is. Yeah. Another days I'm like, you need to be locked up.
Yes. There's no in between. There is literally no in between. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We're the Flat Bottom Girls.
Rate, review, subscribe, please.
Yes. And we'll see you guys next week.
Okay, bye.
All right. Flat bottom girls, and you come my flat bottom girls. I'm on flat bottom girls, and you come my flat bottom.